Katie Clark, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. Egypt is holding parliamentary elections this Sunday. You can bet the farm that President Hosni Mubarak's ruling National Democratic Party will come out on top. Still, an opposition group known as the Muslim Brotherhood is putting up candidates. They don't run under the party name. That's because the Brotherhood has been banned. But the government takes the group seriously. Authorities have rounded up hundreds of members of the Muslim Brotherhood ahead of the election. Reporter Ursula Lindsay in Cairo has more.
On a night last week, Mohamed El-Beltagi, a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, was campaigning for a second term in Parliament. A disciplined crowd of men carried posters and chanted, "Change and reform." Beltagi was elected in 2005 as an independent, since the Muslim Brotherhood is officially not a legal party. He represents Shubb el-Hayma, a sprawling informal settlement in northern Cairo. Like many of the capital's new ad hoc neighborhoods, parts of Shubb el-Hayma don't officially exist, so they don't have public services. No paved roads, no sewage system, no schools. This absence of services is the focus of Beltagi's campaign. The candidate and his supporters stood at the end of a narrow dirt road. Donkey carts, motorcycles, and three-wheel trucks squeezed by. Residents leaned out their windows. "As God is our witness," said Beltagi, "we have tried hard for the last 5 years to get services for this neighborhood. But you know what government officials always tell us. Where will we get the money? That's why we fight corruption throughout the country." "It's government corruption," Beltagi told his audience, "that keeps you from getting your rights and living in dignity." In 2005, Beltagi won handily in this neighborhood. In fact, the Muslim Brotherhood became the largest opposition bloc in Parliament, with 88 seats. This time around, things aren't expected to go as well. Ahmed Ashubki is a well-known political analyst.
I think the Muslim Brotherhood, they lost during these last 5 years credibility and their image, and also the government will eliminate the Muslim Brotherhood.
In fact, the government here has already shown its hand. It's more or less said it will prevent the Brotherhood from winning more than a handful of seats. And it can keep its promise, says human rights advocate Bahaeddin Hassan, because it controls every aspect of the electoral process.
"Because there is no independent body running the election. It is run by the Interior Ministry. And because of that, they are able to do whatever are planning to make."
Since Egypt's security apparatus is cracking down on the Muslim Brotherhood, the fiercest, or in many districts the only, real competition is expected to take place between candidates from the president's National Democratic Party. Most of them are well-off businessmen and members of prominent families. Both the crackdown and the competition stem from the same source, say critics. The regime is increasingly insecure as everyone wonders who might replace the aging president Hosni Mubarak, in power now for 3 decades. So many observers expect these elections to be both fraudulent and violent. Ashubki:
"I think it will be very bad and one of the worst parliamentary elections in the history of the country."
The government here is also making it hard for journalists to cover the elections. After attending El-Beltagi's rally, I was detained and questioned at length by plainclothes police. According to local and international observers, elections here are regularly marred by vote-buying, fraud, and violence and intimidation at polling stations. Egypt's last parliamentary elections took place in 2005. That was when the Bush administration was applying pressure on Arab regimes to democratize. It compelled the Mubarak regime to open the political space a little, and that energized opposition groups. This time, Hassan says, things are different.
"In 2005, there was a lot of interest in the question of political reform in Egypt and the Arab region as a reaction to the attacks of the 11th of September. In 2010, this is not the case. There is no serious interest. There is just a statement here and there."
The U.S. government has called for international election monitors. The Egyptian authorities have rebuffed the idea. Hassan says that in any case, the call for monitors was too little, too late.
"For me, it doesn't reflect that there is a political will, a real interest in the question of political reform, or even in having a free and fair elections in Egypt.
The opposition leader and would-be presidential candidate Mohamed El-Baradei has called for a boycott of the elections. But the Muslim Brotherhood and most of Egypt's small legal parties have decided they have more to lose than gain by staying out of the political process. Most Egyptians, meanwhile, already don't bother voting, partly because of the chaos and danger at polling stations and partly because they don't see the point. They stay at home. Official voter turnout in the last elections was 23%. In some districts, it was as low as 5%. This is the paradox of elections here. A few groups, the government, foreign diplomats, opposition figures, the Muslim Brotherhood, the candidates themselves, care very much about them. For everyone else here, they are a foregone conclusion. For the world, I'm Ursula Lindsay in Cairo.